Good morning, brother. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I got to preach fast today. You guys got to listen fast. Okay? You guys are leaving me like 17 minutes. That's like world record time. So, the stewardships and Lord's Supper was awesome. So we're gonna. Good thing I got a short message prepared. Here we go. Public reading. If you never heard of Ben-Hur, now you know where his name came from. I don't know how many of you caught that. But anyways, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let's go. Beginning in verse 11, and we'll go through verse 14. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do praise your awesome and holy name. We just thank you, Father, for your perfect plan that was spoken of this morning. That, Father, from the beginning, from before the foundation of the earth, you had a kingdom prepared. And Lord, it is for your name's sake. We thank you that not only in the sight of all of the nations, but in the heavenly realm as well, Father, your righteousness is manifested. We're so thankful that you have chosen us as your people, the church, that through us, your manifold wisdom might be proclaimed. What a privilege, Lord. What an opportunity. And we're just thankful for the reminder of that this morning. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, and we would understand the importance of the necessity, Lord, that we have as we go out into this world, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, your love, Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with us. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, just wrapping up here, the book of 2 Corinthians. Lots of good stuff in this book. I'm just going to fly into this. Wasn't going to spend much time on the greetings other than, hey, brethren, it's important. Greet one another. Right? I think I saw something on Facebook this week from Clint. You know, you see a saint, hug them, high five them, say what's up, I don't know, something. Greet one another, right? Greet the brethren. If you're going to greet with a kiss, make sure it's a holy kiss. Okay, Scripture's clear on that. Hey, we got the Serranos, I know it's a little bit of huggers, you know. Bring a little down south, up, you know. Hey, holy hugs, those are good. Okay, some of us Western guys, a little more, you know, John Hahn, stick with the holy handshake, right? Just, you know, The culture isn't as important as the heart, right? The heart of it says, hey, we are holy, brethren. God's made us holy. We're saints. We are set apart for His will, and we should be proud to be a part of each other. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And that, you know, that's what the Scripture says. Hey, I think it'd be safe. I think the Lord wouldn't mind if we did the holy hugs or if we did the holy handshakes. Idea behind it is the best. I know when I had cancer, and I was back then, actually when I got cancer, I had hair before cancer. I wasn't completely bald yet, wasn't near as bald as I am now. But when I got cancer and went through chemo, 29 years old, lost all my hair, I did get a lot of holy kisses from the brother. People would come, kiss me on the top of my bald head, and I'm getting there fast, guys. So, as soon as you can see it's completely clean, hey, you're welcome. So, anyways, let's move on to this next part. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The Greek word for grace is charis. Hey, and I think Jared Schaefer actually had mentioned in his message on joy. This joy is related to the reason we as Christians can be joyful actually is because of the grace of God. Now, this word is very, very difficult to translate. You can hear what they did with it. Charis, they just turned it into an English word, grace. It's used in multiple ways throughout the New Testament. Literally, guys, this word has to do with gift. It's the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we hear grace and we've seen it this way. The acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The riches of God. Sometimes it's defined as unmerited favor. And it is, like I said, used many ways throughout the New Testament. I'm just going to give three quick examples. You guys got to be fast with me here as we go through this. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. I just want to show you it's used in multiple ways. Romans 6 verse 1, most of us are familiar with this. It's talking about how in the midst of all of this sin, God's favor abounded. God brought in His grace through Jesus Christ. In Romans 6 verse 1, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? And of course the answer comes back, may it never be. The context here of grace is that in the midst of sin, that it wasn't about, and I really appreciate Rich's stewardship meditation today. That's this side of it. We are going for glory, aren't we? We're pressing on. We're striving for that. At the same time, and I know Rich understands this, and all of us do, if we back that up, apart from what Christ has done for us, I mean, this is not something we could never earn. Right? What Christ done for us, He got us started, He got us in the race, He reached us in. Now we have a race to run, and that's what Rich was talking about, that part of it. But we were in sin, guys. We were separated from God. We had turned our back on Him. We were rebellious, every one of us in one form or another. Some of us were open about it, shaking our fist in God's face. Some of us were passive-aggressive. Some of us just quietly did our own thing. But apart from the grace of God, apart from His gift, we would all be destined for eternal destruction. So, in the midst of sin, God brings forth this gift. He rescues us. Hey, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. I think most people understand grace in reference to that context we just mentioned, is that no matter what we've done, it is unmerited favor. No matter what we've done, that God gave this to us. Now, a lot of people want to take that and misunderstand that in Scripture and turn that into what Jew would call licentiousness, right? Turn the grace of God into licentiousness. License to sin. Do whatever you want. It's okay. God's... That's not the context of grace in Scripture. And that's why in Romans 6:1, may it never be. Don't you understand some things? Not preaching really on that this morning too much. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul says, I testify that according to their ability, that's the churches of Macedonia, and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And he actually goes through and talks about this gracious work. This is actually, in this context, talking about a gift of money. It's a gracious work. He's using the word interchangeably. Here he uses, we want the favor of participating in this. We'd like to have the gift of actually getting to participate to give money, as he goes through that. So I'm just trying to show you some different ways this is used in the New Testament. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to bring this one up in particular because sometimes we have a perspective of, I remember Mr. Hopper, he said when he first became a Christian, and even for a while afterwards, he thought of God's grace, like his picture in his mind was, God gives you like these 2 5-bucket gallons of grace. And they're there to help you get through stuff you need to get through, but be careful because once you use up all that grace, you're toast. You know, don't use up everything that's in the buckets. That's not what, and Mr. Hopper figured out, that's not what the Scripture actually teaches about this. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, tells us, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His grace is not there simply to cover us in our shortcomings. Grace is actually the gift of God. His favor is something He actually wants us to grow in. Hopefully I'll explain that here shortly. So, the word grace literally means gift or gifts, and it can be used multiple ways than the New Testament. What is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 goes on to say that we, through His poverty, might become rich. He gave Himself for us. Jesus was willing to leave His place of glory and come into this dark place. Because that's amazing to me. I'm pressing on for glory. I want that trophy. I want that reward. I want that eternal home. I look forward to the day when the fight here is over. I love the spiritual battle. Don't get me wrong. I like the opportunity to go eyeball to eyeball with Satan, toe to toe with him, because I know who's with me. Right? There's a part of this that's really fun. There's a part of it of, you know, overcoming daily by the power of Christ, overcoming self, overcoming sin. Those are fun things. What a great opportunity. What Rich was talking about, actually going out into the world and engaging other people and having conversations and having that spiritual warfare. It's fun. But I also got to tell you, I look forward to the day when the fight's done, because sometimes it's really tiring. Okay? It's not always in the moment. Okay? It's sometimes sorrowful. And I'm looking forward to the day when there is no more tears, no more death, no more pain, no more sickness. I'm going to throw one in there. No more temptations, no more trial. I look forward to that day when it's finished and we won this thing, right? By the grace of God. Jesus left that. He had that victory. He left that to come down here for you and me. That's a big gift. God's riches at Christ's expense. We know what He did. He's given us forgiveness from our sins. Man, that's a really big thing. When we share, I am convinced most people in the world would like forgiveness of their sins. I think that's why they try all sorts of self-help. I'll check themselves into, you know, various rehab programs. Oh, the things they tried beforehand before they got into rehab, that was actually trying to find a way to salve their conscience. It's hey, God's forgiven us of our sins. That's a huge, huge gift. That's what great riches. Clean conscience. Out of all the gifts the Lord's given me, that's one of the top ones on my list. To be able to today walk clean, pure, blameless, holy before the Lord. Conduct myself with honor towards people around me. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Man, what a beautiful gift from the Lord to be able to do that. Righteousness. A righteousness of my own that's derived from the law, but the righteousness which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. He's declared me righteous, and God is right. I like that. What an awesome gift. The Holy Spirit. Because that's a huge gift. We talk that the world, when you're outside of Christ, what you think of as you're becoming a Christian, oh, I can't wait to have my sins forgiven. I can't wait to have my sins forgiven. And you don't really realize, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't realize that's the big gift. Forgiveness of sins, that's to clean you up so God can give you this helper. So He can come and dwell inside of you and live with you and walk with you and lead you, His Spirit to lead you in the ways of righteousness. How awesome it is to have a helper. To have our attorney that's with us. To have one who goes before us and one who does protect us. Who is our rear guard. Awesome. Great gifts. So, one way to think about it, guys, is grace, the resources of heaven. All those resources of heaven that are available to us. Is that something we can grow in? I want you to consider this. The Romans 6:1, what should we say then? We continue in sin that grace might increase. May it never be. I think I've used this example before. I'm going to do it quickly. We grew up, we didn't have a lot of money. Ice cream was a big deal in the Wilson family. Still is. Dairy Queen was a really special treat. Well, one day my mom's out shopping. She took Lori with us. My sister Lori was the responsible one of the bunch. She was with her shopping. Denya lived with us during the school years. It was Denya, Matt, and I. My mom's out, and we're supposed to. We have these lists of chores we're supposed to be getting done, and we got a little sidetracked, shall we say? And next thing you know, a big old spit wad fight breaks out, and we had spit wads all over the kitchen, dining room. My mom comes home, and she got us a Dairy Queen. Now, guys, the way to grow in favor with mom was not to continue in sin. That was not. Now, thankfully, we were poor enough that mom saved that Dairy Queen. She stuck it in the freezer, and we still got it at a later date. But we had to clean some things up. The way to grow in favor with mom was not to do that again the next time. Okay? There was favor, and mom, I thought I was my mom's favorite. I was sure of it. I was convinced of it. And then I got a little older and realized my brother Matt was all along. But we all thought we were. And she was good about, guys, you know what? We're all God's favorites, aren't we? We really are. He's given us His favor. But in a court, and it's not because of what we've done, it's because we're His children. But there is a way to grow in favor, and there is a way that you can lose favor. The Scripture actually speaks of people who come short of the grace of God. You don't want to fall from favor, do you? Scripture speaks of that. So we don't continue in sin, that grace might increase. That's not the way for God to entrust more resources for us. Think of it this way. Even though we're all His favorites, we're all His children, God's going to give us more and more resources in accordance with our ability to show our responsibility to handle these things. Jesus tells parables about that, doesn't he? Who has been given much? Hey, much shall be required, but also the guy who has a lot, even more shall be given. Why? Because he conducts himself in the right way with it. We can actually grow in favor. One other thing I've got to say about grace here before I move on. Jerry Hoffman gave a message years ago at Peaks, and I enjoyed it. He talked about in golf, best ball tournament or best ball golf game. And when you're in... I'm not a golf player. If I am, I want to be on a team that has somebody good, because then I can move my... In best ball golf, the way it works is you got a team, maybe four guys or whatever, and you all take a shot from the starting point, the tee, and whoever's ball ends up the furthest out there, you get to go, and you get everybody gets to start at that guy's spot for the next shot. That's the way it works. So you get a team here. Well, he was explaining this best ball golf, and Jesus Christ is our playing partner. So Jesus lines up, and he hits, and we line up, and we hit, and we weren't quite where his was, and we get to move ours up to his spot. That is it. That is one way in which grace is. I think it's a good explanation of one of the things that God's grace does for us in the Scripture. But here's the beautiful thing, guys. God's grace not only allows us to move that ball up to His spot, but He teaches us how to have the same golf stroke, if you will. He teaches us how to play the way He does. So after a while, we swing after Him, and our ball ends up in the same spot as His. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand this. When any of us say, oh, well, I don't need God's grace anymore. No, you'd be insane to say that. The only reason you can do it is because, I could preach forever on this. We got new spiritual genetics, guys. We're immersed into Christ. We have the perfect teacher. He's shown us the way. He's there to teach us. He's with us. He helps us. He gives us tips all along the way. By His grace, we actually can have a practicing righteousness, can't we? There's nothing arrogant about saying that. That's what God would expect. You read 1 John. Everybody who is born of God, it's really simple. He who practices righteousness as He is righteous. This is God's plan for us. Where no matter where we start from, when our attitude is right, God's grace gets us, that ball moves up to where His is. But along the way, He's teaching us, so we get to where we can actually shoot and end up where His does. We can't do that apart from Him. It doesn't nullify the need for God's grace. Matter of fact, we want to be those who grow in God's grace. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Guys, sometimes there's a misunderstanding. People think of grace as mercy. God gives us mercy when we fall short. God gives us grace to overcome. It's the resources, the help we need to learn how to be victorious. Does that make sense? It's a beautiful thing. We come confidently before the throne of grace. Even when we've messed up, even when we've fallen short, even when we swung that golf club and the ball went into the water hazard. Take it. Here we go again. There's mercy there. But there's also grace. Here, let me... I'm going to give you help. I'm going to help you get to where you need to go. I love that about the Lord. So, and then finally, we can grow in this grace. As I said before, we can receive more resources as we grow in favor with God. All of the resources in heaven, guys, are behind us. Romans chapter 8. But God has allotted to each a measure of faith, right? God is careful about the way He gives. Within my family, I give various children various privileges in accordance with their responsibility. I'm not going to give Talia my life savings and tell her to, hey, go do whatever you think you need to do with this. Okay? She's not ready for that yet. Okay? Probably not going to give that to Matthew yet either. Okay? Now he's closer. Elena, maybe I give it to her. No. I would definitely have a chat with Matthew, and I'd be willing to give him a lot. Say, hey, go. Here you are. Let's talk about this a little bit. Go for it. Now, down the road, though, I'd be happy. Hey, in accordance with, as Matthew gets through college and proves his ability to actually grow up and really be a man, right? Through some of those things and establish his responsibility. I'd happily say, okay, here you go. That's, the Lord wants us to grow in favor with God, grow in grace. To actually be able to say, Lord, to pray and say, we need more resources and God be willing to give it to us because we've truly proven ourselves to be faithful in accordance with that which He's given. I preached about love of God last week, so I was going to be really fast on that. I was going to hit fellowship of the Holy Spirit, but it's 11:35, guys. I'll turn the fellowship of the Spirit into a longer message. How's that sound? All right, let's stand.